Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
How many was here Wednesday a week ago when I preached the message, Making Sense Out of the Storm? Yeah, well, you're going to hear it again with a week in Aruba vacation. enjoyed last night at Saturday Night Live. Listen, I want to say to you that it is set aside. I would kind of label it maybe a prophetic night. In preparing last night to come, I was in the shower saying, "All right, Lord, what's going on?" It's pretty well Pam and Jeff's service, so I don't have much to do, I'm sure. And I got a real clear word that Susie and I needed to hear. And then he said, "I am not inscrutable." And I knew it was God because I've never heard the word inscrutable. And he said it again, "I am not inscrutable." So I gave Susie the word that we needed, and then I got here in the atmosphere, that prophetic, you know, when there's a prophetic anointing, you can hear God share some things. So I started looking up inscrutable. When God says, "I'm not inscrutable," the word inscrutable is impossible to understand or to interpret. And he was saying, "I am not impossible to understand. I am not impossible to interpret." So last night, kind of, this is, you'll probably hear me preach that message when I get done studying it. But come Saturday night, it was short, sweet. I didn't get home late. I got home later because I went out afterwards. That was a confession to my wife. And it really sets the atmosphere. And I just want to thank you, Pam and Jeff, for that. I preached a message, Making Sense of the Storm, and then when we went on vacation to Aruba, and I've added to it, Making Sense of the Storm and Becoming a Storm Chaser. It's amazing what a week's vacation will turn you into. A storm gawker, you know, one who just looks and prepares and runs, or one who actually chases it down to find out what it is. And it was interesting that we got to Aruba, and Aruba's up near South America, so they don't have a hurricane issue. And I found out that God was talking to me in the last few days about storms while I was there and didn't realize it. We showed up on the island, and it was hot. It wasn't breezy, and it wasn't pleasant the first day, which is normally not their atmosphere or their temperature. And what happened is the Hurricane Maria had come and created a low pressure for that island. And what was interesting is in that low pressure, the wind was not blowing at 30 knots. And a local fisherman, a guy who knows local fishermen, said that in 65 years of fishing, this is the third time he was able to go fish the north side of the island. And as I recognized and realized that a storm changes things so you can go fish where you normally don't fish. And that's when I changed and added to become a storm chaser. Because if I'm chasing a storm, I'm around the outskirts of it, and I can figure out what the storm is exposing. Become a healer. Become a revealer, and go fishing. So I'll take another vacation anytime because I need messages all the time. I'm going to read to you Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 33. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the seas, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come onto the water." So he said to him, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was bolstering, he was afraid and began to sin and to doubt. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you, ye of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Lord, I thank you for this scripture. I thank you for this word. I thank you for this message. I ask you to minister to every one of us where we're at and show us where we're going. Show us how to earn credentials in the things you allow us to experience in Jesus' mighty name. How many are in a storm of some form? Husbands, wives, children, grandchildren, financial, job, attitude, health. You know, what's your storm? I'm going to talk to that particular thing that you're battling, but I'm going to talk about storms in general. And I'm telling you, trying to make sense out of the storm is sometimes difficult, because to make sense out of a storm, we think it's about us. You know, you remember back to the storms in 2004, the tornadoes of Oklahoma, the storms of Katrina, Joplin, Missouri. Now you have Harvey and Irma. You got to remember, God expects us to win every battle he allows into our life. He expects us to win every single storm. You recognize that? That was good. If you're to be the king of the jungle, and you never leave the zoo, it's because you've avoided the storms of promotion. So here we're in Aruba. Susie and I took this rental car into places that we had signed that we wouldn't. It's like a desert on the north side of that island. And I got miscombobulated, so I just started driving through neighborhoods. I knew where I wanted to go. I wanted to go on that side. It's only 28 mile. I mean, it's only small island. I mean, you can't get lost unless you drive off the cliff. And I found where we wanted to go. And then when we left that area, we went into another neighborhood to go. And as I was driving, there was a huge snake that had been run over in the road. It was so big. I'm like, "Susie, did you see that?" "Nope." "Okay, you're blind." It was huge. I mean, it was a big snake. And I'm thinking, does this island have snakes? Does this island have... That was a good snake. I mean, it was like... I started to turn around just to go see what kind of snake it was. As I started to turn around, Susie goes, "Oh, it probably escaped. And there was a snake zoo around the corner." She goes, "Oh, it just probably escaped the snake zoo." Well, I didn't turn around because I didn't really know where I was at. And this morning I'm up praying about this, and the Lord brings me that, you know, if we're to be the king of the jungle, but you never leave the zoo, it's because you avoid the storms of promotion. And I said, "Okay, Lord." He goes, "You didn't even Google it. Does Aruba have snakes? Or was this an escape from a zoo?" Aruba has rattlesnakes, by the way, and the big ones. And it is interesting that our first, you know, her first impression, "Oh, it might have escaped from there." And so my question is, what do you do when you see a snake? Do you believe it's just somebody's pet that got loose, or it's truly a venomous snake that's trying to bite you? Are we discernible? Are we discerning the things of the enemy? And you know what? Storms, we'll find out if your discernment is working or not. You know, in 2004, the meteorologists, those weather people, meteorologists, that guy, you know what I mean, talked about cycles. You know, in 2004, we had three or four hurricanes in a row, and that will test your mettle. We had Matthew last year. And one of the things that when Irma came in this year, the Lord started speaking to me 5 weeks prior to any hurricanes, before Harvey and everything else. And he said, last year you became the golden boy because there's nobody in our neighborhood had power to where every light in their house worked but me. And so they were all jealous, all my neighbors. But my neighbors, we had become friends enough that we trimmed all of our trees before Matthew last year. So collectively, we had partnered. And then I had all the lights, they didn't. So 5 weeks before all this, these storms of Irma, the Lord spoke to me to go out and buy all of the plugs and all of the electrical to backfeed everybody's stuff. And when I told him I was doing it, I'm like, it's not a big deal. We get in a storm. I didn't say we're getting a storm. God just told me to prepare. And the problem is too many times we don't prepare for a storm thinking one will never come. But I had bought all these plugs, all this cable, all this $500 worth. And the Lord says, consider it evangelism in your neighborhood. Now, I could have made a lot of money when that storm started barreling down. Because nobody could find those plugs. Nobody could find that wire. And I had it. And it was a moral dilemma for me not to sell it for a profit. But I did think about it. Because I'm tired of being a non-profit prophet. So what I'm telling you is that if God allows storms in our lives. The storm of Matthew last year cleaned out all the debris to where this storm, we didn't have the debris. Why? Because last year's storm cleaned it out. And I'm telling you, the Lord spoke to me, he says, if my people would start embracing the storms, it will clean out the dead wood within them. It was funny, this year, what actually wound up in my yard was some, I did a big, you know me, some twig about this big was laying against my car, and I said, a tree branch fell on my car. It was about that big. And I put it on Facebook, and everybody's like, really? But what broke out of my trees was mistletoe, a sapsucker, a life stealer, way up into the trees of my oaks. That broke out. See, when you avoid the storm, the things that need to be broken out of your life aren't. That's a good word right there now. So I want to give you five principles about making sense of the storm. Do what the Lord tells you to do. This passage in Matthew 14 was picked up right after the miracle of feeding the 5,000. The Bible says that at that completion, Jesus said, get into the boat. I want you to go to the other side. As the disciples did what they were told to do on the way to the other side, they ran into a storm. They were on their way to the other side. They were doing exactly what God told them to do. They were where God wanted them to be, performing the act that God wanted them to perform. And the Bible says a storm arose. Many of us, whenever we face difficulties in our life, try to find out what caused the storm in our lives. Lord, I don't do this anymore. Why am I going through this? I stopped doing that. I stopped seeing that person. I stopped doing this sin. And we look for a reason for the storm in our life. We've been conditioned to associate difficulty with disobedience. If that is your go-to, you will always be looking inside at what's wrong instead of looking the one that's inside that tells you what's right. It's a mind shift. So if I've committed to do what the Lord has told me to do and a storm arises, that should trigger the storm of promotion. So if I'm obeying God and I'm willing to do what he tells me to do and a storm comes up, I have to change my attitude and go, this storm is allowed by God for my promotion. That was good. And I'm going to have to get my own amen here. Yeah. We don't say it, but we live as Christians in order that gives us the default around difficulties. Listen, when you signed up to serve Jesus Christ, you signed up into an army. Come on. Then we bellyache because we're in a war. How many of you are married? Well, that honeymoon work out for you. It quit about 3 weeks after you got married. And real life shows up. Now, you got to go to Aruba once in a while to get it back, but Susie says, I'm going to have a permanent address over there. See, we think that we're Christian now. We're exempt from all trials and tribulations. Our life will never have any problems. Well, I should add, disobedience can put you in a storm too. But this verse says you can do exactly what God wants you to do. You can be exactly where God wants you to be and find yourself in a storm. And if you understand you've heard his voice and you've positioned yourself, if the storm is there, it's for my benefit. So get rid of your negative thinking. This is why I really believe I've added to this message to become a storm chaser now. Why? Because if a storm, if I'm right with God, if a storm is in my life, it's for my promotion. That's a good word. Thank you, Kev. Verse 24, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out of fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. They were walking out what God told them to do. They were doing what God says. But in the middle of the storm, Jesus will always come. My question is, do you have eyes to see? Why were they afraid? Number one, they'd never seen anybody walk on water before. Number two, Jewish folklore, history, tradition of men had said that when the devils and the imps get mad, this is their culture, that's where these storms come from. So they associate everything that is a storm with a demon. But let me tell you something. My Lord is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he's king over storms. And if he lives in me, I'm king over storms. Principle two, don't get so focused on the storm that you lose sight of Jesus. You'll never get so focused on the storm that you lose sight of Jesus. Some of us get caught up in the storm. We lose sight of Jesus. We don't recognize him when he comes walking by. Many times God brings storms in our lives in order to speak to us in a way that we have never heard him before, or he's trying to speak to us in a place to calm us. And if we are not calm enough to hear his voice, then we've missed the calming voice. Then you're never the voice of calm. When you focus on the storm, you miss his voice. Now, I shared this. I was so prepared for this hurricane when Irma came in. I was anticipating the power to go off because I was prepared. And it happened. And it happened at 11 o'clock. And the wind was blowing. And the rain was coming. And in between our two houses, the way the wind came, it pushed water up against the backside of my fence where my generator is. That's where the generator is sitting. That's where all this wiring that I did comes and plugs into a back feed that I had put in. And so the power goes off at 11:30 night. I'm in a raincoat and a flashlight because I'm prepared for the storm. And I fire up the generator and it blows a breaker. So I've tried to figure out why it did that. I was so focused on being prepared that I had been prepared that I'm sitting there the second time starting the generator, and I'm sitting with a 220-volt plug in my hand, and I got water up to here. Oh, wow. Is that the most idiotic thing you ever heard in your life? I mean, it's just going. And so it blows another breaker. Now I'm getting mad that I can't perform what I had prepared to perform. And I'm so focused on being ready for a storm, I can't hear God's voice anymore. And all of a sudden, his voice breaks through. I got raincoat. I got all this. And I got this deadly weapon in my hand, generator running. And I'm going, oh, you're an idiot. And I shut it down, went in the house. I'm like, we'll do this in the morning. See, when your focus isn't Christ, your focus is the storm, you'll miss him walking by. You can't hear his voice when you put more power in the storm. Or you put more effort in your preparation than you should. I had prepared. I was ready. I wanted my, listen, okay, this is the ego side of me. I wanted my lights on before anybody else in the neighborhood. All right, Louis. You know what ego stands for, right? Edging God out. Okay, that was good. When Jesus said, do not be afraid, it is I. He's going back to, I am who I am. I'm God. I'm walking on the water and you can't see me because you've never seen anybody walk on the water. See, we've avoided so many storms, we don't have confidence that he's a storm calmer. If we would recognize that he calms storms, we'd start being a storm chaser. So it's our view of him, not our intrigue with the storm. The storm's a tool of promotion. All right, let me put it this way in basketball terms. I'm going to start a basketball team. A fellow walks up and nobody knows who he is. He's very tall. I said to him, hey, man, you got a little height on you, bro. Can you play any game ball? Yeah, I play a bit. Can you dribble? Yep. Can you shoot? Yep. Can you jump? Yep. Can you dunk? Yep. I can do all those things. Okay, great. We're going to practice at 12 o'clock next Saturday. So meet us at the gym. We'll find out what kind of game you really got. We don't know him. We don't know whether he can play or whether he can shoot or whether he can dribble. It's all talk. Same guy walks in, but this time somebody says, hey, that guy looks like Michael Jordan. Hey, that guy looks like LeBron James. Do you ask him, has he got game? Do you ask him, can he dribble? Why? Because you know him. He's been proven. The question is, we've avoided so many storms, we've never let God prove who he is to us. That was good.
Amen.
Yeah, I'll preach. We forget who God is when we focus too much on the storm. I hope some of my neighbors aren't listening to this, because I had two neighbors who continually bugged me, what I owe you, what I owe you, what I owe you. I know God told me to do some of this as evangelism. And I took care of people and I did it. And finally I was like, here's what you owe me. Here's what it cost me. And I got money for some. Still haven't got money from others. Because when they found out what it cost them, they didn't want to pay either. They just wanted the benefit. Okay. Principle number three. You won't do anything great for God if you don't get out of the boat. You've got to be willing to leave the boat, people, behind. In Aruba, they talked about, the one lady talked about the Coast Guard actually policing between Venezuela to keep the boat people. You know, they had borders. You know, sometimes you just got to be willing to become an individual and get out of the boat. I've never seen it done that way. That's boat talk. Sit in the seat of the scornful. Anybody ever heard me preach that message, sitting in the seat of the scornful? See, sitting in the seat of the scornful, I had a vision of sitting in the seat of the scornful is you're sitting there and you're criticizing everything around you. Well, we didn't do it that way. Our Baptist church didn't do that. Our Pentecostal church didn't do this. And we have all the excuses and we never actually get out of our seat. And it becomes a seat of criticism. It becomes a seat of doubt. And it is that Psalms 1 scripture came to me. And actually God was rebuking me because I had become a leader that had become sitting in the seat of a scornful and not sitting in my seat of authority. And he rebuked me of my attitude. And I said, God, how do I get out of the seat of the scornful and sit in my proper throne, place of throne, rulership? And in this vision, Jesus walks up, removes me from my chair, my seat, my throne. He turns it upside down and he puts these three long nails through the bottom of the seat, turns it back up, and there's three nails sitting about this far off the seat. He says, now sit down. When you can sit in your seat of authority and feel my nails in your behind, you'll rule properly. That'll stop your criticism. And there's too many of us who are sitting in a seat of scornful, thinking we're all that in a bag of chips, and we've never met the one who calms the storm. We can name the storm. We can tell you how it's a cat 5, a cat 3, cat 2. We can do all that, but we really haven't calmed the storm or made it a storm of promotion. That was good. You got to get out of the boat. You got to understand what Peter said. If that's you, tell me to come. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. So what was Peter saying? If you are the Word, give me the Word, and I'll get up and I'll walk on the Word. Forget this water. If you know the Word, then you can hear the Word, you can walk on the Word, and I don't care what about anything about the water or the storm. That was good. Come on, man. That was good. But you got to get over your fears. And you know, you go a little bit further, and Peter gets out there. He starts walking on the water. Mike, where's all of his friends? They're still bellyaching in the boat, them boat people. Uh-huh. Well, you know, Peter, he's sinking. Golly. They didn't say he made 12 steps and before he started sinking. They said he's sinking. I'm glad I didn't get out of the boat with him. God tells you to go start a ministry. God tells you to go do this. You get in the middle of it, all of a sudden there's a storm. There's a financial crisis. Whew. I've heard people say, boy, I'm sure glad I didn't commit to that. So glad I didn't commit to that. So, okay, God, I've heard those comments recently. Do I get bitter or better? How do I get better, because right now I'm a little bitter. Huh? And you hear God say, listen, if you keep using your credit, I'll never get no credit. Put a demand on my faithfulness. Put a demand on my people that I've put around you. In your prayers, not your attitude. Did you hear what he said? You keep using your credit, I'll never get no credit. Don't go spend your money on God on credit and then put God's name on it thinking he pays interest. That was good too. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He went out of the boat and did something great for the glory of God. Then he took his eyes off God and was doing and focused his circumstances, situation, he began to sink. Lord, save me. That phrase, Lord, save me, is an extreme passive voice, which implies he tried it on his own to save himself and he couldn't. This man was a fisherman. Do you think he knew how to swim? So then why did he have to be saved? Because the storm put him into a crisis beyond his ability to where he had to cry to God. Some of us just need to give up and cry. We just need to say, God, I can't do this. I'm doggy paddling myself to death and ain't going nowhere. God, save me. A good storm will make you come to the end of yourself. You'll quit thinking you're all that in a bag of chips when your chips get wet. I hate wet chips. They're mushy and they're messy and the salt runs to the bottom. My chips got wet on this trip. He lets you come to the end of yourself. In other words, in a storm, God reveals to us that we're not all that we think we are. I mean, you got to realize, Peter was a professional fisherman. Do you think he'd ever been in a storm before? You know, years ago, we were fishing off the coast of Fort Pierce. We were night fishing. We took a couple thousand feet of rope. We were deep. We were fishing. And it was dark. And all of a sudden, this red light came out of nowhere, and it was a Russian submarine, and they were speaking Russian. And we were about 15 miles, 16 miles out, and we saw it, we heard it, and all of a sudden, this thing hits our rope and just snatches the front of the bottom, the cleat, and then, bam! Scared to heebie. I don't want to fish no more. Scared me. We jump on the radio. Said to the Coast Guard and goes, we know where they're at. We know where they are. Are you okay? They were monitoring this. And you know, it wasn't even a storm until you lost your anchor. What makes you lose your anchor? But when we lost our anchor, we called the authority. We've been monitoring. We know who they are. Are you okay? Does that act like God? What storm has startled you? You know, sometimes God just, he'll allow a something that's below the surface to surface just to hear your voice because you don't talk normally. That was good too. God will save you in the midst of your storm. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you little faith, why do you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Are you telling me they didn't believe it till then? So are you telling me, Pastor, that a good storm reveals who he is? Why do we avoid him then? Said to Susie this morning before I preached this, are we just going to concede or are we going to man up and chase this storm? You're just going to concede because, see, what you tolerate will dominate. If you let the storm dominate, if you just tolerate it, it'll dominate you, and then you'll just become a weathered Christian without enough anointing, without enough joy to attract nobody. guess I'm preaching to myself today. But God will save you in the midst of the storm. And then others will come and worship God when they see your survival. When they see your survival. I was intrigued when the second hurricane came in and just blew apart Puerto Rico, those islands. Everybody knew we were going to Aruba. They think that we're in that hurricane chain. We're not. We were further south. But we were close enough for that storm to open up fishing on the north side. I've heard Pam in the last few weeks talk about caring one for another. What we need to do is say, okay, I'm not going to avoid this person because they're in a storm. I'm going to get close enough to find out how to fish. I don't want to be in their storm unless they've given me authority to comment. But can I get close enough to go do some fishing around it? That Hurricane Maria, the guy is 60, he said the guy was 65 years fishing, and this is the third time in his lifetime he was able to fish the north side. Why are we running from storms and not running to them? So, truly you are the Son of God. In other words, Jesus, I know you got game. I want to be on your team. I want to be a storm chaser with you, Jesus. See, that's ministry. Principle one, do what God tells you to do. Principle two, don't get so focused on the storm that you lose sight of Jesus and electrocute yourself. Number three, you don't do anything great for God if you're not willing to get out of the boat. Number four, in a storm, God will reveal to you that you're not all that you think you are. There's levels of maturing that has to be peeled back for you to rule with kingdom principles. Part of the pride of our hearts is, I survived that storm. I survived my son on drugs storm. I survived a bad marriage storm. I survived betrayal and ministry storm. And now I'm facing some storms that are actually lesser storms. It's all about what I used to do. Instead of getting the strategy for this storm. Go look at the storm chaser movies and things. They let the storm dictate how they approach it. They don't take what they learned or the same protocols from their past. They look at current data, current situations, and then they have the ability to do it. In a storm, God would reveal to us that we're not all that we think we are. Number five, God will save us in the midst of our storms. If you do not believe that, you will avoid your storms and you will avoid the absolute promotion that God's trying to give you. I moved into my neighborhood. We were the first people that moved in my neighborhood, 13 years ago? 12, 13, a long time ago. And then some people moved in, and there was a preacher that moved in the back section. I have won some storms, but I was in the middle of, I didn't care about storms anymore. Not your storm, not God's storm, and I had an attitude. And this guy comes knocking on my door. He goes, I understand there's a prophet that lives here. I went, nope. I shut the door on him. I didn't want to hear it. Would you come asking if I'm a prophet? It means you're in a storm, and I could care less about his storm at that time. I felt guilty and found him a couple days later. But when you haven't processed your storm to figure out that God's made you the way he's made you to calm some other storms, when people come to you, you won't minister to them. Because you think it's about you. Because you're still carrying the scars from the storm and the pain from the storm, instead of realizing it was a promotion to help others. So are you about to make sense of your storm? It's up to you. Stand to your feet. You've just now witnessed a miracle, because that is one of the shorter messages I've given. Sure.
There we go. Wow, that's loud. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say that fear doesn't exist or storms don't exist. It's our response that dictates where we're moving from. When Jehoshaphat and all of Judah in 2 Chronicles were faced with these several armies that have come together and want to destroy them, actually fear came on him, but God didn't rebuke him. He wasn't rebuked for being afraid. It was his response to the fear that was going to dictate who he was trusting in.
Yep.
And he called a fast for not only all of the palace, but all of Judah and all of Israel. And see, and here's the thing. The Spirit of the Lord fell into place when they were seeking him, and they prospered when it looked like death was at their door, and they didn't do a thing. All the enemy was eradicated. And so I just want to tie this in to where, here's the thing. No matter what you go through, when you actually know whose you are, when you actually know what your identity is, and who it's founded in, and that you're a son and daughter of the most living God, it's all for your good. It's all for your prosper. Whether you prosper yourself or you prosper those around you, all things work together for good. Amen. When you understand you're a son and daughter of God.
It's knowing who he is and who you are in him. That's the bottom line. Put your hand over your heart. Thank you, Jesus, for the storms in my life. Now give me the strategies to speak to them and tell them to be still. Tell my legs to step up on the new promotion mat that you put before me. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.